We hope it is true that we give thanks to the Lord in every situation, in all circumstances, even when things are not as we would like them to be, because that's when it's hardest. But it is precisely then that it matters that we can do it. When everything goes according to our will and good pleasure, then we can very easily rejoice and praise, be joyful. But when things don't go that way, what then? Then the trial comes upon us. Let us ask the Lord for grace, that we may pass the trials, and that God's word may be fulfilled in us. Give thanks to God for everything, in every situation, for that's the way He wants it. When the first song was sung about the cross and the crown of thorns, I had to really think on Genesis 3, when the Lord there cursed the ground and said, "Thorns and thistles shall it bear, and in the sweat of your face you shall eat your bread." This curse the Lord pronounced there of thorns and so on. This He then, when He was on earth, took upon Himself, and He was crowned with a crown of thorns, mocked and ridiculed. But just then it became obvious that He took the curse from us and let the blessing of God come upon us. Last night, when I saw what happened here to our beloved brother from the Soviet Union, I thought of some things in the scriptures, supernatural things that God worked, especially in the life of Saul, who became Paul. Before we go into that briefly, let me refer to Ephesians 5, the word that was read to us. Ephesians chapter 5, and it does so good to emphasize that the words were not only addressed to the church at Ephesus at that time, but to all believers at all times, in all countries, in all cities, wherever they may be. God's word is for God's people at all times and applies equally. Blessed are those who can receive it, believe it, and also live it out with God's help. In particular, verse 15, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." He who is wise, as it is written in the prophet Micah, is silent. He who is wise holds his tongue, for often we cannot take back, sometimes even make good, what we do with words. But when it comes to bearing witness to the grace of God, to speak of what God has done, then we are to speak and not be silent. You have to know what can be said and what does not need to be said. One must weigh the cost each time, whether what we say will be a blessing to others or whether it will harm them, whether we build them up or destroy them, whether we help or achieve the opposite. Always the right thing at the right time. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. The days are truly evil. they were not as evil as they are now. Godlessness has taken over, and one can read in relevant literature how even God is being touched. And I'm thinking especially of our German theologian Mrs. Sorge, who is concerned that God is not female but male. She complains about this until there's no tomorrow, and thinks we need a woman God, a woman theologian. They even touch God. You have to imagine that. The limits have all long been exceeded. Every measure is full. Only for the sake of the elect has God not yet let his wrath break forth. He wants the last to be called out. Where was it? Somewhere in the Scandinavian countries, a psychologist and a pastor let themselves be married. You have to think about that. It's worse than Sodom and Gomorrah, worse than it ever was on earth. A tastelessness to the point of no return. And as I said, they even touch the Almighty God. You have to imagine that. And then the argument, I don't want to say it here. It's just too absurd to even put such words in one's mouth. But we are grateful to the Lord that he has people who have reverence for him and his word. People who are at his disposal, who believe and trust him and regard his word as holy and binding. And as God is, so is it right for us. And may he only make of us such people who would also be pleasing to him. Let this be the endeavor and prayer of us all. Also, the next verses are important, namely verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Yesterday we read about Hezekiah. He did what was pleasing to the Lord, and therefore God's well-pleasing rested on him. And what he did, he succeeded. He had to clean up. He was not afraid of what might happen to him, because God was with him. The people will have been upset when the idols of stone were overturned, the idol trees were cut down, and everything that did not belong there was removed. But he had no fear, for he acted by God's commission. And the hour is near when we too must act by God's commission. And the axe is not laid at the top of the trees, but at the root. The evil will be tackled by the root, and the divine truth will once again be put upon the lampstand. The mask must fall, the deception must come to light, and we have read what comes to light that is struck by the light. And then it will be revealed for all men to see. We don't want to cause the slightest harm to anyone, but there's one thing we want to achieve, that all who really want to be saved are shown the way to it without any ifs and buts, and are brought back from all detours, and enter through the narrow gate and find the narrow path that leads to life. Everything else misses the mark. And then this exhortation, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. This too is our fervent prayer, our desire, that we may become full of the Spirit. For listen what follows after this, when we are full of the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Who would like to experience this literally, that it becomes divine reality, that we are full of the Spirit, no more talking harshly to each other and thinking, I'm going to tell him what's right, but that God could bless us and use us like never before. I simply imagine, and I believe it will happen, that in the end, the church will be as it was in the beginning. That God has given a message of restoration by grace, and that the restoration, because it is a promise, must become divine reality. It cannot be otherwise. That is how God has set out to do it, and that is how we will carry it out. Coming back to the event of last night, I would have wished, and it was in my heart, if people would no longer have to be called, but would recognize on the Spirit's instruction when their hour has struck and the moment has come, when faith has reached the stage where God can reveal himself to them. If it is still so that the preacher has to ask and beg, then God has not yet been able to bring about what he wants to do. But when spontaneously the one and the other is seized by the Lord under the preaching of the word, whether it's about salvation or for healing, for deliverance, that it is truly done in the name of the Lord by the power of God without any further help. I read Acts chapter 9, and there are indeed leadings of God, also such, be it at a conversion or in other blessings, that the Lord gives an instruction that brothers lay hands on others so that they may be helped. In Acts chapter 9, from verse 1 to 9, the conversion of Paul or Saul is written down, and I would like to read from verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight. That's good for a start. The crooked way stopped. Now the straight street began. Go into the street which is called Straight. It's nice that this street had this designation. God makes a straight way for us. In a true conversion to the Lord, the crooked ways cease. Then we go, and God goes with us on the street which is called Straight and is Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. For behold, he prayeth. And where prayer is made, God answers. There God can give instructions to others to give help to those who need it. For behold, he prayeth. Let us pray in such a way that God can answer, that he can use others to set us to bless them. In verse 12, and has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Do you see? The Lord worked on both ends at the same time, with the one who came to the conversion and with the one whom God was going to use so that this man could experience a true conversion, penetrate, and actually go from that place as a man of God. The Lord had appeared to Saul in the light and had spoken to him. That was not enough. Here a man came, laid hands on him, and it says that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem." Do you see? In this vision, the Lord has spoken, and Ananias has also spoken. It was a conversation with the Lord. It was not just images. It was a conversation. The Lord was speaking to Ananias. Ananias spoke to the Lord. And it goes even further. The objection, it was straightened out then. And he goes on to say, "And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way. The Lord said unto him, Go thy way. For he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel," and so forth. What a wonderful experience. In this context, I would indeed also like to express my joy that the iron curtain has been lifted. In this place, we do not deal with politics, but we are heartily grateful to God that this curtain has opened and that our beloved brothers and sisters can come to us. May God bless them from the riches of His grace among us and in this land. May God bless us all, no matter where we come from. But one would have to know what happened not only under Hitler, but also under Stalin. One would have to understand what all the Germans in the Eastern Territories who were resettled hundreds and thousands of kilometers away, what they suffered and went through for tens of years. We want to welcome them to this place and to this country. I would like to read some passages to come back to last night. Trusting the Lord. Really, trusting. It takes a lot to it. And we will read that too. Faithfulness is part of it. Before we go into that, I would like to read from 1 John chapter 1 to say here very clearly that we do not pass on what men have said, but what has been from the beginning, what has been handed down to us by eye and ear witnesses. We have not taken over the things that have run their course in the course of centuries in church history, but by the grace of God, the Lord has led us back to the original Word. That is where we belong. We love God's Word with all our hearts. We believe it and receive it. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, which we have seen, which we have heard. So there were eye and ear witnesses, and we believe them. John writes at the end of his gospel, this disciple who testifies to this knows that it is true. Amen. We know that God's word is true, and in it our faith is forever anchored. Heaven and earth may burn, hills and mountains fade, but he that seeks shall find out. God's word is true forever, as the hymn goes. And heaven and earth will pass away, for thus it is written, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. But God's word will not pass away. And if we received God's word, the word of life, in us, new life will come forth by the Spirit in the redeemed. The blood that flowed on Golgotha had the task of reconciling us to God, of wiping out our guilt, of forgiving our sin, of bringing us back to God. The Word and the Spirit have the task of bringing about new divine life in the redeemed. Therefore, the three things always belong together. The Word, the Blood, and the Spirit must be effective in the redeemed. I rejoice in the fact that there have been witnesses to all that is reported to us in the Holy Scriptures, that they could honestly and truthfully say that they were there. They were eye and ear witnesses. Peter writes something similar in 2 Peter, the first chapter. 2 Peter, chapter 1, it is written, by the way, in connection with the return of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1, verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Eyewitnesses of his majesty. Peter, James and John were, according to Matthew 17, on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Moses and Elijah appeared, and when the conversation took place about the outcome of the matter in Jerusalem. Everywhere were witnesses when God did something special on earth. Let me now read from Hebrews, the second chapter, Hebrews chapter 2. Here it says from verse 3, Hebrews 2 from verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? The epistles to the Hebrews were obviously written by someone who was not an eye and ear witness, and the overwhelming majority of exegetes believe that Paul wrote the epistles to the Hebrews. And indeed, anyone who reads chapter 13 will find his wording quite clear. Here the man of God reports, whoever it was, a nice man of God. I love the letters to the Hebrews very much. It says here, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? But here is no full stop. Here is only a comma. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. These men of God could not only say, listen, we have been told and communicated the whole thing by eye and ear witnesses. That was the humanly possible side, that those who saw and heard could tell and report what they saw and what they heard to others who did not see and did not hear. But that was not all. That was not all. This report was received by the others. But God himself then confirmed the matter by signs and wonders and diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. That which was reported, that which was proclaimed, God confirmed by manifold signs and wonders. Beloved, let us also have confidence in our Lord in this. Trust that we are not just reporters. Trust that we are not only witnesses to what God has done in our generation, but that we have faith and confidence that God will add to our testimony and comes to our aid and confirm by signs and wonders following that what we say and proclaim is right before God. Amen. We all have to reckon with this, and we put our trust completely in the Lord. For we too have seen in part, seen and heard what happened in our generation. May it truly please the Lord to bring about such faith in us that we would simply experience a normal service as it was left to us in the Bible. Every time our Lord held a service, what happened? Sinners were forgiven. The sick were healed. He healed all who came to him. He manifested the power of God in soul, spirit, and body in those who came to him in faith. If the Lord, through the preaching of the word, succeeds in bringing the church to this state, that we ask and pray together, Lord, we want a service as it took place in the scriptures and was reported from the early church, what happened there, that we are no longer satisfied with the kind of services we have now, which are good for instruction, for edification, but the transition to the divine confirmation, to the manifestation of the power of God, simply has to come. We have to break that sound barrier and believe and trust so that the arm of God might be moved and the Lord might mightily confirm what we proclaim. When our beloved brother from the Soviet Union gave the testimony here, how the instruction was given that he would come and hands would be laid on him, I would have liked inspiration to have seized and grasped one and the other. All things are possible in such moments when God begins to work directly. Let us be vigilant that we do not miss such moments. If one comes, 10 can come, and if 10 come, hundreds can come, and the Lord will heal them all. When back then 10 lepers came, he healed 10, but not all the healed ones came back to thank him, but all were healed. God is faithful. He cannot deny himself. Let us be really watchful in the meetings and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Then you no longer pay attention to the surroundings. You no longer think, what will someone say now? It has to come to the point that we are gathered before the Lord in such a way that each individual gets his instruction from the Lord. Look how beautiful it was. The brother was pushed. He took his liberty. He came forward. Let there be divine order here. And that was quite in order, completely in order. It would have been even better, as I said before, if many had come. Let me come back to the subject of last night and read some more scriptures to show us that God kept faithfulness to those who stood faithful to him. There is a scripture in the Bible that says, if you stand by me, I will stand by you. When we draw near to him, he draws near to us. It is simply a union with our Lord, a lockstep in which we may walk by grace. Two scriptures from the prophet Daniel. They touched me very much. Daniel chapter 3, verse 28. Daniel chapter 3, verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their lives. Have you read along? Have we taken it in? An unbelieving ruler pronounced this, and this from men who remained faithful to the Lord their God. In the hour of trial, they gave up their lives, but not their soul, their faith life, their earthly life, the body, they gave to death, but not the soul. They kept the soul alive by trusting God. I read it again. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have ignored the king's command and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. The enemies of the people of God, they brought charges and came to the king and said, O king, may you live forever. But no, there are people who do not fit into your kingdom, who pray to a God who is foreign to us and you, There are still people on earth today who do not fit into any country or kingdom on earth, who only fit into the kingdom of God because they belong in the kingdom of God. We are not of this world. We are in the world, but not of this world, just as our Lord was not of this world. The same Nebuchadnezzar who gave the command, "Throw them into the furnace of fire and heat it 7 times more than usual," in the hope that there really will be nothing left. And behold, as he himself confesses here, the same man, the same Nebuchadnezzar, he suddenly begins to praise the God of heaven because he has witnessed the faithfulness of God in the hour of trial. He has seen and experienced that God keeps his faithfulness to those who dare to trust him to the end, who give their lives into death so that he can save it. Did not our Lord say, "Whoever wants to preserve his life will lose it, but whoever loses it for my sake will find it"? These three men gave their lives to death, but they remained faithful to God. They put their trust in the Lord. And this had much to say to this king, so that he exclaimed, "Blessed be the God. Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have ignored the king's command and yielded their bodies." Amen. A glorious testimony. And you all know what preceded that. When Nebuchadnezzar was called to see the ashes, then he did not see ashes of three men. Then he saw four men and no ashes. He saw four men. And when the three came out, the fourth went back to glory, whence he came. When the three came out, there was not even the smell of burning on their clothes. Not even a burning smell on their clothes. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? I believe it for all of you. Our God said in the prophet Isaiah 43, "And if you pass through the waters, the floods will not drown you. And if you go through the fire will not be able to harm you." Our God has power over fire. He has power over everything. And this man then just exclaimed, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." And then he said, "Him must worship," and so on. Let me read the second scripture, namely from Daniel 6, 23. Daniel 6, 23. This is about the prophet Daniel himself, who also remained faithful in the hour of trial. "Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he trusted in his God." Amen. There are many testimonies in the Holy Scripture. Yes, we could say with the writer of Hebrews, "Seeing then that we are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses," there are true witnesses who have not only spoken of God, and through whom God has not only spoken, but people who have experienced God's power, God's assistance, God's help, God's blessings on this earth. I believe there are many among us also who have experienced God in the same way, whether it be salvation, protection, healing, blessings of various kinds. But let us also remain faithful in the special trials. When it really comes down to the wire and our lives would have to be given in death. It is easy to sing, always faithful to Jesus, always faithful to Him. Perhaps not always so easy to prove this faithfulness. Also in the days of the apostles, whether Peter, whether Paul and Silas, whether prison, whether beatings, none of it mattered. They were faithful. They did not grumble. They sang and were joyful and later gave thanks that they had been worthy to endure all this for the sake of Jesus' name. Let me read the verse again. Verse 23, Daniel 6. Then was the king exceeding glad. The first joy he had was with the three men who were thrown into the furnace of fire and who then came out. To them he called out, "Come out." I will read it to you in a moment. And now again verse 23. Then was the king exceeding glad for him. Very nice. When an earthly ruler can highly rejoice because of what God has done. May God still do such things as astonish princes and kings. And our God has the power, for He is omnipotent. There is a passage in the prophet Jeremiah and even in Isaiah. Yes, there are several passages. The whole Bible is full of good passages that God will do things beyond our expectation. O Lord, that You would rend the heavens and bring them down and do things beyond our expectation. I can read it to you in a minute if you like. Here it is. I mean in the prophet Daniel 6:23, once again. Then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found on him, because he trusted in his God. I don't know what would have been left of him if this trust had not been in his heart and soul in the hour of trial. Perhaps we should still read from chapter 3, from verse 26. Chapter 3, from verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither." Amen. Before that, it were four. Yes, in verse 25, there were still four. There it says, "He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." But he called only three. He called only three. One of them only came to visit. He didn't belong on this earth. The three were thrown in. The three he called out. The one he didn't need to call. He went back to where he came from. And what do we read here? "Ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and so forth. Maybe I can find the verse where it says, yes, it's verse 27. verse 27. Maybe I should read it complete. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats damaged, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. This is God's holy word. These men who were influenced and then influenced the king had to see with their own eyes that Almighty God is faithful to those who are faithful to Him. In the hour of greatest trial, praise be to the name of the Lord. I would like to read further, namely from 2 Chronicles, just the one scripture still from the Old Testament, and then some from the New Testament. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, the old familiar word. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20, second part. Here the following is written. Believe or trust in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. This is about trust. Trust in the Lord your God, and ye shall be established. But the Lord God does nothing but reveals his secret to his servants the prophets. Amos chapter 3 verse 7. And therefore it is necessary that we not only trust God, but also have confidence in those who have spoken by God in the name of the Lord. As it is written, holy men spake by God, not by themselves. They spake by God, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We believe all the prophets of God. We believe the apostles. We put our trust in the word that God spoke through their mouth. Also the letters that they have written to us. Certainly, in these letters, there are not only some things that are difficult to understand, there are also some earthly things. There Paul writes, I will spend the winter with you. Let the cloak that I've left there and there be returned to me. Earthly things are also in the letters, because we are all still on earth. But in the midst of it all, or the main reason of all the epistles is, after all, to give us a complete overview of what God wants, what He intends to do with us, what is to be taught, what is to be proclaimed, and also what is still to be done according to the prophetic part, especially and particularly in these last days. Everything has been written down, and we may exclaim with Peter, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. We have it. It has become a part of us, and we a part of the word. We have the word, and it has become a revelation to us by grace. It's all about trust. Trust in the Lord. Here it says, trust in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. The three men trusted in their God. Daniel trusted his God. It became visible that it was so. It will become visible that in these days we too have put our trust entirely in the Lord God. Yesterday we read, do not put your trust in men. Do not put your trust in princes. but in the Lord alone. And he who trusts in him will not be put to shame. On the contrary, he will experience God's faithfulness. Trust in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. What a glorious word! God has ways and means to speak to his people. He takes whom he will and when he will. He speaks and works, and no man can give him counsel. He himself is Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He says, "Who has been my counselor?" He needs no counselor. He knows all things himself. Let me read a little further from Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Here Paul expresses it in a very special way, that he also put his trust in the Lord. Ephesians, or here it is still a matter of not only prophets, but also apostles knew about the mystery. Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 4, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. A very important word, not only to trust, but to be made familiar with what God has intended for his people and has prepared for us. To make this very clear, it must be said that we are not talking about Old Testament prophets here, but about New Testament apostles and prophets. And I tell you in a moment, and I read it to you from the word of the Lord, namely directly here from the letter of Peter. From Peter, here we have been told by the man of God himself, 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 10, 1 Peter 1 from verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. In the Old Testament, the prophets searched, when may it be, when will it happen? But then it was revealed to them that the ministry they had, the proclamation entrusted to them, would not take place already in their time, but, as it is written here, that they ministered not unto themselves, but unto us, imparting that which is now preached by the men who preached the gospel unto you in the power of the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Actually, no lectures should be given at all. It must be preached through the Holy Spirit as the man of God in the Old Testament received the word by inspiration. So the men of the New Testament received revelation by the same inspiration of the Holy Spirit, received the insight and the clarity about what was announced then and later found fulfillment. God does not need dry lectures that are added with human knowledge. God wants that we are taught of Him through the Word and the Holy Spirit. According to the Scripture, they all will be taught by God. And taught by God means to be taught by the Word of God. Then one brother need no longer say to the other, "Learn to know the Lord." For they will all have known the Lord from the greatest to the least. I think I can say that we too may belong to those by grace to whom the mysteries that have remained hidden but in the last days have been revealed, that we have understood them by the grace of God. I believe that if the greatest prophet were in our midst, then he would agree with what is preached here. He would say yes and amen, and all the apostles would do the same. For verily, God is now taking all things together from the Old and New Testament, from all prophecy, and setting before us a perfect picture of all that is now to come to pass. It is an extraordinary privilege to live in this generation, an extraordinary privilege to have been given anointed eyes to see what God shows, to hear what God speaks, that God opens our ears to hear as disciples hear what He has to say. The word disciple and learner is the same. Disciples are learners. They learn from the Lord, and they do what He has taught them. Ye are my disciples indeed, if you do what I have commanded you. Two things. We are taught, and we do according to what we have been taught. And thus we become doers of the word. Beloved, the hour has struck when God wants to get serious with us and we with God. The hour has come for us to put our full trust in God. May come what will come. Most people worry about it when persecution comes, what they would say then. There are even very beloved brothers and sisters who do not have the brochures sent to them and have openly said, "We do not want our address to be with you, because when the time comes, then it will be our turn. Then it will be our turn." Also, such brothers exist. They say it quite openly, because when the time comes, then it's our turn. And they let the literature be brought to them, and so forth. These are like Nicodemus. They still have to come to the Lord, not by night, but by day. God wants people who trust Him, whose lives mean nothing to them, who have received the life of Christ. For we who live now, we live the life of Jesus Christ, because He died for us. My address they can all have. When I was written to by the World Council of Churches from Geneva because of Brother Branham and so forth, I replied very joyfully, quite joyfully. They can have all the books. The Antichrist can have the book about the Antichrist. It doesn't matter to me at all. If lumbering is to be done, then lumbering is to be done. When the hour is here, it is here. We don't do anything on purpose. And if there is an intention, it is only to help the deceived masses of the people so that their eyes are opened. What did the Lord say to Saul? I will send you to the nations, that you may open their eyes. How can one person open the eyes of another? Certainly not by hand or tweezers or some device, perform some operation. How are the eyes opened? When do our spiritual eyes open? When the word of the Lord is preached and divine truth penetrates us and we are set free, then the light shines for us in the midst of darkness. We too have put our trust in the Lord and know in whom we believe. And we also know what we believe, namely no cunningly devised fables, nothing contrived, but the true, pure, eternal Word of God. That is what we have received into us, and that is what we will carry until it carries us over. The same Word that was in the Ark of the Covenant and rested on the priests in the Ark of the Covenant, the same Word God has confirmed and has divided the River Jordan to bring the people who carried the promise into the land of promise. That is exactly how it is now. God is watching over Israel. God watches over the church. God is watching over everything. He neither sleeps nor slumbers. He is the living God. May we have such confidence in Him that would be simply unshakable. And I think there is another scripture in the Bible, in the Epistle of Peter, that also emphasizes this trust that we should have in the Lord, and certainly have in the Lord. It should be in 1 Peter chapter 2. I didn't mark it out. Let us see where it is. 1 Peter chapter 2. If I read 3 verses, we will certainly have found it. Verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. 1 Peter 2 verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be put to shame. That's not all yet. There's more to come. Praise the Lord. Unto you, therefore, who trust, will be granted the precious goods. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is really about trust, as we have read and dealt with yesterday and today. There were people who had trust in God, and God had trust in them. And this must also be manifested at the end of days, that we have put our trust in God and also come to the point that God can entrust us with something, that God can also entrust us with something that doesn't go to our heads, but goes to our hearts. And we really still know that it's not the vessel, as Paul said back then, not as if this power comes from us, as if we possess it. No, it is God's work, and it remains so to the end. What a glorious verse. Behold, I lay in Zion a chosen stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who puts his trust in him Hezekiah put his trust in the Lord. All the men of God put their trust in the Lord. The three men, Daniel, who they all were, they put their trust in the Lord. I tell you, the Lord is faithful. He will stand by those who stand by him, and will testify to those who have testified to him. For God is faithful, he cannot do otherwise. But as I was trying to say earlier, there are people who have a pessimistic mind. They only see black. They already fear the things that could come in 10 or 20 years. They are afraid that something will happen. And this spirit is also an evil spirit that plagues and torments people, destroys them mentally, intellectually, and they suffer and suffer and don't even realize that it is demons that cause these sufferings in them and to them. If there are people who should think and act positively, then it's us as believers. Yes, come what may. God knows what is coming. And if it comes today, he takes care of it today. If tomorrow, then tomorrow. He knows the today and the tomorrow. He knows the time until it merges into eternity. Perhaps we should also ask the Lord to take away these spirits that affect us, that influence us, torment us, ruin us with thoughts of various kinds, and we finally end up in a directly negative thinking and no longer know what to do. Away with all these things. What do we have to do with it? We want to serve the Lord. We want to trust him. Come what may, the Lord will be with us, as he was with all those who put their trust in him. Even with healing, it is absolutely necessary to leave all the negative thinking behind and come to the Lord, looking up to him joyfully and say, Lord, you have already done it. It is finished. You have redeemed me. You have delivered me. You have healed me. I thank you for it with all my heart. And then it will be manifested. For it is truly a finished work. The Lord has proclaimed, not a man. He himself has proclaimed, it is finished. And you all know what happened. The rocks shattered. The veil in the temple was rent. Even earthly perceptible that at that moment God had performed an act of salvation on earth. Satan is defeated. The serpent's head is crushed. We are redeemed. All the demons that want to torment us with negative thoughts must also give way. How many would like to experience a total deliverance, really a deliverance from all these things that torment us? They have to go. They don't belong in our lives. For it is written, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He has the power and the means. Even the demons that surround us, they are not in us, but influence us from without, because they still rule in the air, that we reject these things from us by God's grace and say, depart from me, Satan. I am a child of God, purchased by the blood of the Lamb. I belong to the Lord and have nothing to do with anyone else. One must speak this out clearly and say, Satan, get thee behind me, to give glory to the Lord in faith. How many would like to put their trust in the Lord from today on? Not in you, not in me, not in a man, not in princes, but in the Lord of heaven and earth. As was witnessed in the days of Daniel, with the three men and with himself, that they put their trust in the Lord God. And he has rewarded faithfulness, has preserved, has been with them as he promised. He will reward our faithfulness. the trust he will crown and will confirm his word and bless us from the riches of his grace. If only the spirits of fear had departed from us, for fear and trust are at war with each other. Away with all the fear. Brother Ruschat says, there is no fear in love. And so it is. That's what God's word says. Away with all this strange fear, which often wants to take hold of believers. Fearing, how will that be? Some are afraid to go under a tunnel, some over the bridge. Away with all fear. Others fear the future. Away with all fear. May the love of God, which drives out all fear, which brings us to rest in God. There is a rest for the people of God. And we want to enter into this divine rest. And the devil shall depart. He has no right to the people of God. The Lord says, let my people go, that they may serve me. And we are here to witness this final exodus by the grace of God. Praised and glorified be the name of the Lord our God, who has shown us his faithfulness and will show it to the end. Let us also have trust and faith in him, for we know in the depths of our hearts that he will make all things well and bring them forth gloriously to the day of his return. Hallelujah. Praise be to his name. Amen. Let us stand up and thank the Lord. Brother Ruth will join us in thanking the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for your mighty speaking through your Holy Spirit and through your word in this morning hour. Lord, may indeed all things be taken from us in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we want to stand like those stood before us, like the three men in the furnace of fire, like a Daniel who was cast into the lion's den. Lord, like all the men of God, like a Paul, Lord. Lord, give grace to your people in these last days, for you will stand by your people and you will accomplish your work. Lord, as in all ages, so also in our days, O God, for you have not yet changed. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We worship you and thank you from the bottom of our hearts that we may come, Lord, as we are right now. Lord, help your people, help us all. Take everything from us, Lord, and give us a heart that we may praise you, Lord, that we may sing your praises, Lord, that we worship you, that we trust you, Lord, in every moment, Lord, in every hour, that we have the blessed assurance, Lord, that you watch over us, Lord, not only when we are gathered here, but every day, even when we are in a lonely place, Lord. You are with your own, Lord. Praise and honor, glory and worship be to your wonderful name, Lord. You have spoken, and we earnestly pray, continue to work. Let all that thou purposed come to pass, O Lord. We no longer wish to determine, Lord, but you alone determine in our hearts, in our lives. We thank you and praise your wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.